This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. Two-time Oscar winner Gene Hackman is dead. The Santa Fe County, New Mexico sheriff says they conducted a welfare check at Hackman's home Wednesday and found the 95-year-old along with his wife, Betsy Arakawa, and their dog. The office says foul play is not suspected. A Trump administration plan to hold off foreign aid is still ongoing, says ABC's Nicole D'Antonio.
At issue, nearly $2 billion in foreign aid payments the administration has frozen. A lower court judge ordered the government to unfreeze those payments by midnight last night. But an order from Chief Justice John Roberts has now pushed back the deadline so the justices can consider the case.
A new White House memo directs federal agencies to prepare for large-scale reductions in staff. President Trump plans to meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky in Washington tomorrow to sign a minerals deal giving the U.S. access to Ukrainian resources. This is ABC News. The EPA says it's completed the first phase of hazardous waste removal from areas of Los Angeles that were devastated by the Palisades and Eaton fires last month. ABC's Tony Cabrera is there.
The EPA says it removed over 300 million tons of hazardous materials. The agency says it was able to do so quickly because it ramped up its efforts, bringing in about four times more teams than they normally would in a fire cleanup. That's about 1,700 workers on site.
Some hair products have tested positive for cancer-causing substances, says ABC's Chuck Sievertson.
Consumer Reports tested 10 of the most popular synthetic hair braiding products. They found cancer-causing benzene, which can cause leukemia with high enough exposure, in three products. They found lead in 9 of the products at levels exceeding the maximum allowed set by California regulators. It's not clear if either of these were identified at levels that could pose an immediate health risk, but in theory, long-term exposure over many years could be a concern.
Brian Clark, ABC News.
Streaming TV is where it's at. It's not about cutting the cord anymore. It's all about your customized TV options. With the best and cheapest high-speed internet and your own TV subscriptions, we've got your dream TV lineup. Between wired and satellite internet and TV, save money and get more internet speed and better TV today by calling the Whole Home Connect.
800-217-9129. 800-217-9129. 800-217-9129.
We are the keepers of the wild. For more than 80 years, we've been committed to conserving the natural landscapes that define our nation. Nothing is more important than maintaining wild spaces for adventurers to explore and wildlife to thrive. We are America's hunters and target shooters. Together with firearm, ammunition, and archery manufacturers, we've supported the conservation of more than 36 million acres of American wildlands. For more information, visit OutdoorStewards.org.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
It's the Bucks and the Nuggets. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Milwaukee Bucks at home tonight against the Denver Nuggets. The Bucks' Damian Lillard on why he thinks he's not getting more shots from the free throw line.
I feel like it's just been inconsistent. You know, I think it's been a lack of understanding on how I'm being fouled. You know, a lot of times guys will hook the defender's arm and then jump or whatever. But I just feel like I'm paying attention to how they're defending me in screens. They're fighting over. It's hard to stop on a dime, and I'm stopping on a dime, shooting the ball, knowing how out there pursuing me over ball screens, so it's a normal play.
Baseball manager Pat Murphy on Sirius XM Radio asked what will it take to plate more runs if the Brewers don't spend more money in free agency.
If you don't have the budget to just go out and kind of just fill every hole, you're going to have to build from within or build from your trades or whatever. There's ways to disrupt the other team by having an offense that can beat you in many ways.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. John Hughes was the king of teenage comedies, pretty much up until his sudden death in 2009. At a recent event in Hollywood, producer Adam Fields says Hughes sent him the initial script for The Breakfast Club as a play that was all set in one classroom. When asked about a potential remake, Fields said he did not think the film could be remade because it is character-driven, whereas everything these days is mostly concept-driven. The Breakfast Club recently celebrated the 40th year since its release. The cast of the Oscar-nominated film Conclave, a film film about selecting the new pope after the death of a pope has a lot on their mind, like a potential Best Picture win at the Oscars this coming weekend after winning the Outstanding Performance by a Cast in a Motion Picture last Sunday at the Screen Actors Guild Awards. Members of the cast wished real-life Pope Francis well as he has been hospitalized with health issues at 88 years old. Isabella Rossellini said, "We love this pope and are worried for him. Life imitating art or art imitating life." For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabo, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Cloudy and a bit breezy this morning. Sunny and not as windy by later this afternoon. Our high today, low to mid-40s. Tonight, down to 30. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and windy. We'll get to around 50 at noon, falling into the 30s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Judge Susan Crawford joins us at 11:06. The election just 5 weeks away for the next spot on the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
And welcome back to Civic Media This Morning. Hour number two, Todd Allball here in Madison, along with Mr. Greg Bach in Racine and Kenosha. It is 6 minutes past six. It's 6 minutes past the
That's
hour.
That's German
7
for
o'clock.
Six.
Welcome to Sexting the Morning on Civic Media. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 7 o'clock here on Thursday, February 27th. Kreitlow is on vacation down in Zona, Arizona. He'll be back tomorrow.
Trip.
So-called work trip for Mr. Kreitlow. He'll be back along with Up North News Radio coming up here tomorrow. So be here for that. We're keeping you company, informed, involved, and in touch here on a Thursday morning here on Civic Media. Glad to have you along. Coming up a little bit. Where's my coffee, Greg Bach? Good
Take
Lord.
Take a deep breath. It's Thursday. Start again.
Thank you. Coming up at 7:34 this morning, we will talk with Mr. Mike Johnson, who is the superintendent of Eau Claire Public Schools, along with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. The two grew up in River Falls and talk a little education, talk about the implications of immigration policy being made in D.C. and how that affects schools here in the Wisconsin area, and celebrate Wisconsin Public Schools Week. Find out what's happening at Eau Claire Public Schools coming up at 7:34. Also, Luke Mathers joining us at around 10 till 8 with his puppers. We'll explain about that in a minute. But right now, we are joined, as Pat and Greg are every morning, by the lovely, the talented Brittany Merlot, our wonderful meteorologist. Brittany, how the heck are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good. How are you doing, Todd?
I am great. Thank you very much. It's been a morning. I got a new TV. I can't get to work behind me, so it's just a blank screen. Turns out much like my brain. And so anyway, we're just chilling out here. But the important thing is that we really want to get your opinion on here. We talked about today, music history today. And Josh Groban turns 44 today. What are your feelings on Josh Groban?
I have no idea who that is.
Yes, you do.
Who is Josh Groban?
Wow.
Hold on.
We're so old, Greg. We're so old.
No, I will. You guys take a moment. I will bring the song back up. You know this song, Greg's... Brittany. You've heard this song.
Okay. Okay. I'm really bad with who sings what song. So you found my weak spot, okay?
Well, no, it's fine because Greg is shedding tears over Josh Groban every time he hears it. It makes him melt. Makes Greg melt.
Aww.
And I'm kind of indifferent. I think he wants to be Neil Patrick Harris or Michael Bublé. And Josh Groban, a very talented individual in his own way. Don't get me wrong.
All right, here we
More
go.
More talent. All right, here we go. Josh Groban.
Oh, why is it not? Oh, I know. Because sometimes it's technology
hooked up to the TV.
Is stupid.
Here we go. Josh Groban, take two.
Josh Groban, Take two. What is? Why is that happening?
Anyway, he's a singer. He's
a singer.
All right. Well, anyway,
here we go.
I guess really, for real. All right.
You raise me up so I can stand on mountains.
Yeah. You feel like the king or queen of the world, all right? Brittany, you've never heard this song before?
No. I have not. It's been in a movie.
I'm done with all of you. You don't know culture. You don't know good things.
I'm sorry. All right, Greg,
that was beautiful. That was well done. That was well done. All right. Well, we're going to talk. Let's do a little today in history at 7:10 before we get into some weather. That was the best part of the morning so far. Make that into a promo. I have no idea.
Nobody respects the. I don't think we can for legal reasons.
Right. We're going to talk more about this with Luke Mathers a little bit later this hour on a Thursday. But get this, guys. It's National Small Dog Day. And you have to pronounce it dog. National Small Dog Day. It's the last Thursday in February. It's National Small Dog, especially dedicated to celebrating the small dogs in the pack, their mighty personalities as well. Now, you might ask, what constitutes a small dog? It's a dog that weighs 20 pounds or less and falls under the small dog or toy dog breed category. How about that? Have either of you had small dogs?
Nope. My dog is not. She does not qualify for that weight class. She is. She's a banterweight dog. She'll come out fighting. And her theme song, Josh Groban, You Raise Me Up.
Yes.
Do you have a dog, Brittany?
I do not, no.
Do you ever have one
I'm
growing
not home
up?
I'm enough to take care of one, which I have to be all responsible right. about, you know?
Right, exactly. I grew up with a miniature schnauzer.
Oh.
A schnauzer, yeah. Her name was Daphne Suzanne. I named her after Daphne in Scooby-Doo. It's true. She was a small dog. I'm very excited about this. Yeah. Now, we don't often do cooking programs on the radio. We only have, is anybody even watching the stream?
Yes, they are. We got people.
Oh, very good. Oh, very fantastic. I have brought in my toaster this morning because, why, you ask?
No.
Because it's, would you believe, National Toast Day, honoring the humble slice on this last Thursday in February. But it's also so very versatile. It carries a multitude of jams and jellies and marmalades and fruit compotes. I like that word, compote. But we don't stop there. Toast transports proteins and veggies, sprouts, and soaks up sauces and drippings. So here now, I went shopping right here. I don't normally get this.
Brittany,
brioche.
I did not know he was going to do this.
I have some.
This is crazy.
Brioche. Do you guys? I like a good brioche. I don't often do it, and okay. I was actually going to make
whatever
French.
Madison.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I was going to make French toast this morning, but I went last night to the grocery store. Eggs, $25 a dozen in Madison. I couldn't believe it. So I said, "That's not going to happen." Now here now. I'll probably get in trouble. I go to Clausen's Bakery in Madison for a fine wheat toast. So you got your brioche and you got your wheat, and we're gonna. All right, it's toast. Oh, turn it up. And then for toppings today, what do you guys like on your toast?
I enjoy
butter.
Oh, but okay. I enjoy what? Butter or a jam, not a jelly, whatever. But I like a good jam, like our preserves. Mm-hmm.
I've got a strawberry and rhubarb spread from Rose Cottage here in Cambria, Wisconsin.
That sounds awesome.
I love a good raspberry, or pardon me, strawberry and rhubarb jam. And then I know this is controversial, but peanut butter, I like good old Jif.
He's already got that one open, just so you know. That one's got the cap off. He's ready to go.
Yes. Todd really making waves with his peanut butter choices in the morning.
Well, I mean, Art, what do you use for peanut butter, Greg Bach?
Oh, I'll use whatever. Like, I'm not a peanut butter snob. Like, I'll the Jif, the Jiffy, the Peter Pan. I don't care.
Peter Pan.
But I'm a crunchy boy.
I forgot that was a peanut butter.
I'm a crunchy boy.
Yeah, yes. I know. I'm a smooth guy.
Brittany, where are you on the peanut butter wars?
Crunchy.
Yeah, that's right. While you're doing that, while you're toasting your soon-to-be toast, also known as bread, I got this from Laura in Rapids. Josh Groban is a king among men. He's a musical theater pro. Wow. He's done Broadway shows. How dare you?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Laura from Rapids.
All right. Well, I he's very talented. I'm not trying to take anything away from his talent. It's just some people, you know, that you click with them and some you don't. I don't know. I don't want to beat up on Josh Groban. All right, what else today? It's a National Retro Day. Now here, Brittany, I feel like you could get behind this. National Retro Day takes us back to a time before smartphones and the internet. Every generation looks back and asks, remember when? The celebration indulges our love for the good old days while remaining in the present. No matter the decade, pick a point in time where people talked more face-to-face than text-to-text, had dinner at home around a table, and the kids played games that didn't require the internet.
There's a whole party in Washington who wants to go back to those days.
Leave it to Beaver.
I do not know your age. I've never asked. I will never ask. But do you have is there pre-internet in your memory?
Oh, yes, absolutely. Okay. I mean, I had pagers back in the day, no internet, or that if when you got the internet, it was that dial-up, AOL thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm pretty old.
and then those three magical words, you've got mail. All right.
Right. Yeah. But you're I would consider you a person of fashion and coolness, Brittany. Now, like I, my nieces, they love to shop at the thrift stores. They love to find vintage clothing. Do you ever participate in that, or any of your friends?
You know what? I haven't done it too much, but my best friend does that. She'll go to thrift stores and she'll flip things. She'll make them trendy again, resell them. She's all into that vibe. So I definitely am close to people like that.
Greg, are you a thrifter?
No. Yeah. No. There's a certain milieu about thrifting when you are a big guy that's just not as fashionable.
Okay, very good. Oh, look, the toast is up. The toast is done.
While you're doing the toast, Brittany, why don't you give us the weather?
Look at that brownness on that brioche. That just a little bit of here. Listen to this. Oh, that's some crunchy toast. That's fantastic.
What the heck?
Right? I mean, who makes French toast on the radio? Only here, folks, on Civic Media this morning.
Oh my God.
All right, Brittany, give us the weather. What's going on? What's popping?
Oh, toast is popping right now. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we are looking at a cloudy day today. We've got a few flurries that are going to be flying into northeast parts of the state, a few scattered showers towards Lake Michigan, but nothing major. These are just little sprinkles moving through the area this afternoon. We'll see more sunshine into the southwest areas of the state, and highs today still staying mild. We will hit 40 degrees for most of us. And of course, upper 30s far north into Wausau and northern areas. That'll be a breezy one, too. Winds are going to be gusting up to 30 miles per hour today. Ooh. And then they're going to whip up to 40 tomorrow. So we could see some power outages, tree limbs coming down. That'll be the main problem as we go through the next 24 hours.
Where is that at?
All across the state.
I did not know we were going to get that much wind.
Yeah. So it'll start to whip to about 30 miles per hour today. Tomorrow, 40 mile per hour. So I wouldn't be
I love
shocked
it when you say whip,
high
by
wind
the way.
Warnings.
On our show, we have a whip. Like whoosh, every time you say it, we crack the whip.
That's awesome. Yes.
I think it's fair. Now, this is serious, though, because people that have large trees, big oak trees and whatnot, I mean, this could cause a lot of damage, so we got to be prepared for this.
Yes, and you think about it, the ground is saturated and soggy and wet right now, too, so it could make some of those trees, the smaller ones, too, come down as well. So just keep an eye out for that. But otherwise, I mean, we're looking at some sunshine and a beautiful weekend ahead, just a little cooler.
Oh, my gosh. What are the temperatures for the weekend, more or less?
Well, we're looking at actually staying below freezing on Saturday and then the low 30s on Sunday.
Ooh, very nice. All right. Well, that's good. Here we have a beautiful piece of toast. It's National Toast. Happy Toast Day, Brittany, and thank you for a great weather forecast.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. Come on back. We'll make more toast and more fun. It's the Civic Media This Morning Show with Greg and Todd and Brittany and whoever else wants to stop by. Come on back.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, LaCrosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
Donald Trump is out of control, stopping payments for healthcare and food for hungry kids, eliminating the Department of Education, and letting unelected billionaire Elon Musk fire anyone he wants and get access to your most private information. We need a Supreme Court justice who will keep them in check before they go too far. That's Judge Susan Crawford.
I'm Judge Susan Crawford. As a former prosecutor and now as a judge, I believe in protecting you, your family, and your right to privacy, and that women have the right to make their own decisions about their health care. Because to me, that's just common sense.
Donald Trump and Elon Musk are both backing Brad Schimmel. He'll do whatever they want. That's why we need Judge Susan Crawford. The common sense judge will keep them in check. Judge Susan Crawford for Supreme Court. Paid for by Susan Crawford for Wisconsin. Crawford for WI.com.
At Civic Media, we encourage active political engagement and remind listeners to think critically about political advertisements you may hear during this critical election year. Our stations are licensed by the FCC and are required to accept all ads for federal candidates. We also air state and local candidates, as well as paid ads from issue and PAC groups. Truth is rarely as simple as any political ad may claim. So again, we urge you to think critically about what you hear in the spirit of promoting authentic and respectful civic dialogue.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Brian Lomax, defend the vote.
The SAVE Act will make it harder for all Americans to vote. Now you need a passport. Wisconsin specific, 5 million people don't have a passport. Now it's $130 per passport.
Even if you can afford to get a passport, that is a months-long process. Unless you planned a year ahead, you're not going to be able to vote.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Eagle 1490 AM.
Tokyo Kori, Machu wa almost 40. My Luna Akabademi, just a Yaku no Sutori.
Welcome back to Civic Media this morning. I'm Todd Allball in with Greg Bach. We are filling in for Pat Kreitlow and Up North News Radio. That is a song that will get you up and get you going on a Thursday morning, the 27th of February. Greg, what did you dial up?
This is a song called Tokyo Calling by a J-pop band called Adachi Gakko. It is an awesome song and an amazing video. I love this band so much.
That's fantastic. Well, anything that prompted you to play that song?
When I can't think of a song that's like properly in line with the theme of what we're going to talk about, I just play this one just to get you going. Like,
oh yeah, I like that. Because a lot of people are up exercising this time of morning, running, jogging. Well, that's great. That's great. Very good. Welcome back. Glad to have you along. 22 minutes now past the hour, 7 o'clock after the bottom of the hour news and weather and sports update. Going to be talking with Mike Johnson, superintendent of Eau Claire Public Schools, and Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project, celebrating Public Schools Week. Always great to talk about our great public schools all across Wisconsin, and Mike Johnson will be in to do just that. We thank Brittany Merlot for being here, putting up with our silliness, because it's National Toast Day. Yes, that's a real thing, and I brought in my toaster, and I toasted up. It came out beautifully. A slice of brioche, a brioche toast. Listen to that. Listen to the crunch, even with a strawberry rhubarb jam on it.
Oh, that sounds amazing. There it is. Oh, that's a crunch.
Now, I had some wheat toast from Clausen's Bakery, and I'm like, well, I want it to get just a little bit more done, and I put it back in the toaster, and then Brittany did her I got into the forecast, and look, I burnt the darn toast, and I'm worried that I might have set off the fire alarms. So,
I think
which is a way for Todd to get a date. So I'm looking forward to that being carried out by a firefighter. anyway, but we got so much into the toast, we forgot about Robin Tigerton's forecast there. Greg, please fill us in.
He says, good morning. This is Rob from Tigerton. Of course, Rob, good morning from Tigerton. Cloudy and 34 degrees. We had a spectacular sunset last night by my sister Lori's house in Caroline. She made me brats for supper. Ooh. Goes on to say, a year ago today in Tigerton, it was 70 degrees. Then followed by a huge temperature drop to 12 degrees the next morning. Yeah, that's February is probably the most unpredictable month in Wisconsin. It could have 70, you could have 11, you could have snow, you could have a heat wave. It's ridiculous. He also goes on to say, talking about what you were discussing in the first hour, he says he's against cuts to special education. I hold so to the heart because I needed special education to make it to school, and I'm a strong proponent for special education, and everyone has talents regardless. of abilities. Totally. That's why I hold special education teachers dear to my heart. So thank you so much, Rob, for getting in touch with us. And thank you for sharing that with us. We appreciate you so much.
100%, Rob. And I'm right there with you. I went through a lot of a special title. They called them at the time like Title IX or Title I classes for reading and for math in particular. Mm-hmm. And most of my time in school, they said, well, Todd's lazy or he's just not smart. He has a low IQ. Turns out I found out in college, I finally got diagnosed with dyslexia. So I can relate, Rob. Went through a lot of what would be considered, at least at the time, quote unquote, special education programs, and everybody has their own gifts and talents, and sometimes it's just a matter of unlocking those gifts and talents, and we need teachers, educators who are trained to find that, because everybody is gifted. It's just a matter of how you bring that out. So thanks, Rob. Appreciate you sharing that.
Completely agree with that. 100%.
So in addition to National Toast Day, which I'm not sure if anything could be sexier than National Toast Day, but we do have a couple other days here on the docket. And I had to look up, here's the word, ANOSMIA, Awareness Day. I'm like, it's not asomnia. And so I had to look it up. It's Anosmia Day. Have you heard of this, Greg?
No, but I'm looking it up right now.
It's National Anosmia Awareness Day. And I'm like, what is that, by the way? And it turns out it's people who have a loss of smell. Okay. And it's a condition ranging, a long-ranging loss of smell of all our senses. Smell perhaps is taken for granted more than any other. There are many causes of anosmia. The most common reasons are due to upper respiratory or sinus nasal infections and diseases. We've all experienced a cold or allergy that temporarily prevented us from smelling. However, other conditions cause a permanent or long-term loss of the sense. When anosmia symptoms are prolonged or lifelong, many anosmiatics do not enjoy the flavor of foods, the scent of an infant, or other senses of smell, such as an early warning system for danger, like when you burn your toast. Yeah. But I guess I kind of knew this was a thing, but you just forget about it. But anosmia is a person who has lost their sense of smell. And I would agree, Greg, yes or no to you, I think it's a sense that goes way undervalued, and I really learned more about it when I had my coffee business. I learned more about coffee, and so much of our food and our drink, what we think of as quote-unquote taste, it's actually our smell.
Yeah, I mean, right now I'm actually going through something like looking at my sinuses and my sleep patterns and whatnot, and I've noticed like they put something called Afrin in my nose on Monday, and my nasal passages opened up to the point where like I could smell everything. It was I didn't realize how blocked they were for so long and how much that affects like just the world you take in. But yeah, it was she shot it up my nose, and I'm like, I just started breathing. I'm like, oh my gosh, she goes, you're breathing like you never breathed before. I'm like, yes. So my heart goes out to people who suffer from that terrible, terrible affliction.
Yeah. National Anosmia Awareness Day. That's why we have awareness days, to make people more aware. So if you're going through that, we're thinking of you today. And be aware that not everybody has that sense of smell that we too often take for granted.
Yeah.
28 minutes now past the hour of 7 o'clock. Temperatures range from upper 30s. To around 40 degrees, Brittany Merlot says, and expect highs in the upper 40s to around 50 degrees, but some very windy conditions. Beyond just windy, it's going to be gusts at 30, 40 miles per hour. Brittany says, be aware some small limbs or larger limbs on older trees could be susceptible to coming down on power lines. So just be aware of that. Going to be batten down the hatches, as they say. Also, if you drive one of those higher vehicles, an RV, a camper, an 18-wheeler, that sort of thing, a straight-line truck, can make driving very difficult as well. So some high winds could be going across the state in the next 24 to 48 hours. We're going to come back on the other side of this break, take a quick pause for your local news around the state of Wisconsin, and also sports with Mike Clemens, our great sports reporter, a quick check of weather, and then back with Mike Johnson, the superintendent of public of schools in the Eau Claire School District, and Trivi Olson from the Lincoln Project. Don't miss it. Come on back. It's Civic Media This Morning with Greg, Todd, and you right here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Matinee on Air.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
The clock is ticking for the U.S. Championship Cheese event coming up in Green Bay. But if you're a cheesemaker, how do you select a sample to send today that will be judged in a few weeks? I'm PM Yonke with a quick update on what's happening in food and farming news for a Thursday. Good question, and one that's dealt with often by Eric Vorpel. He's Director of Procurement, Bulk Cheese, and Risk Management for Masters Gallery Foods. He's also been a judge for the U.S. Champion Cheese Contest for many years. He said, for cheesemakers, trying to select the right piece of cheese for entry is a tricky deal.
Cheese is made in batches, and you can't sample the piece of cheese that you're submitting, but you can sample the one that came out before or after it. So we have a process called grading, essentially the exact same process as judging, except there's not a score that's being assigned to it. But you're checking that cheese, you're checking the body, checking the flavor, you know, how does it look? So preventable errors is essentially making sure that you have a nice looking package, that the corners are sharp in a block, and that it's nice and smooth and uniform in a wheel, that there isn't mold under the wrapper, things like that.
Eric Vorpel, one of the technical judges that will be evaluating more than 2,414 entries at this year's U.S. Championship Cheese event, March 4th through the 6th in Green Bay. You can follow along virtually on their website, uschampioncheese.org. or their Facebook page.
When it comes to fungal diseases like soybean white mold and SDS, you know how devastating yield loss can be. That's why you work with your seed dealer to find the best genetics for your farm. Did you know you can bring forward the defensive traits of those genetics with a seed treatment? Heads up, a biological plant activator primes your seed to turn on its natural defense against disease. Take your yields to the finish line. Ask your seed dealer for a heads-up seed treatment.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. And it looks like some financial assistance is on the way to try to get answers for high path avian influenza. The U.S. Department of Agriculture is investing up to $100 million in new and ongoing research into animal vaccinations and therapeutic tools to manage high path avian influenza, not only in our bird population, but also in the nation's dairy herds. The International Dairy Foods Association and the National Milk Producers Federation applauds the efforts. I'm PM Yonke.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
Cloudy and a bit breezy this morning, sunny and not as windy by later this afternoon. Our high today, low to mid-40s. Tonight, down to 30. Tomorrow, partly to mostly cloudy and windy. We'll get to around 50 at noon, falling into the 30s by late tomorrow afternoon. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp now 37.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I'm very excited. It is my pleasure to welcome tonight my old pal, Dr. Kristen Lierley. I told the entire listening audience that I rub my feet together sometime when I watch TV, and I called it self-cuddling. And it's like the only thing we do where we rub our own bodies when we relax, you know.
Is it? Are you telling that to a gynecologist? Pete, come on.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air.
A lot of federal employees got this fork in the road letter. You can stay, but you're not really guaranteed anything. Luann's husband is a Vietnam veteran.
I wrote a letter to President Musk. My husband put his life on the line for our country.
Wow.
You are putting my husband's life on the line right now by cutting all those programs that are keeping him alive at the VA. Please call your legislators and tell them to stand up. This is not what America is.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabe.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Key and Peele writer Rich Tallarico, who wrote the iconic substitute teacher sketch. Rich will also make the popcorn pick of the week. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Welcome back, everybody. It is now 34 minutes past the hour here. Glad to have you along with us on this beautiful day here in Wisconsin, all across Wisconsin. Joining us, the senior advisor of the Lincoln Project, former River Falls boy. You can take the boy out of River Falls, but you can't take River Falls out of the boy. Trygve Olsen, now a senior advisor to the Lincoln Project. And our special guest in this segment, Mike Johnson, who is the superintendent of public schools in the one, the only, the beautiful Eau Claire School District there in Northwest Wisconsin as well. Mike, thanks so much for coming on today. And on rather short notice, but we, you know, Trygve sent his minion, me, to book you, his friend, and I appreciate you saying yes.
Hey, I'm so glad for the invitation, and as always, Trygve and Todd, you know, whenever you call, I'm always interested if I'm available. So, yeah, more than happy to. Really excited to talk, you know, it's Public Schools Week, and it's a great week for us.
It really is, and my whole family are educators. I'm fond of this, but for you folks, and not just Eau Claire, but for public educators across the state of Wisconsin, what does this mean to you as administrators, to your teachers, to your students, and how are you celebrating that?
It's really, you know, it's a thankful time. In Eau Claire, just one example, we've got a very active retiree group, but also some community members with the Wisconsin Public Education Network. And we've got signs at all our schools celebrating, promoting Public Schools Week. We love our public schools here in Wisconsin. And, you know, Monday morning in the snowbanks, now they're no longer in the snowbanks, but Monday morning in the snowbanks, got a few pictures from some of those. We had a board meeting last week, and we were able to, you know, talk about how much our public schools mean to us in celebration and recognition. And at every school, there's maybe a little bit something different. And but yeah, it's certainly a special week here in Wisconsin for our public schools.
One of the things I just wanted to ask a little bit about is we're in the middle right now, not in the middle, but getting towards the end of the school year. This is an exciting time where we're in the middle of getting ready for state wrestling. We've got, you know, basketball coming up. I know you folks have hockey. I know that school is academics, but for so many of our communities across Wisconsin, they're also our communities. Talk a little bit, Mike, in the Eau Claire School District about some of the successes outside of academia that just makes it part of the community.
It is. Those activities and events are really important for our kids and their families. You know, just a couple weeks ago, you know, a show choir competition at Memorial High. You know, fast forward to now, we've got the tournament series for athletics. And whether it's wrestling, whether it's hockey, whether it's swimming, whether it's basketball, girls basketball just kicked off this week. You know, there's always something to do on a Tuesday or a Thursday or a Friday or a Saturday. And if we're working here, like last night, I was watching Memorial. I had them on the broadcast, and then, you know, with streaming, and I was able to watch River Falls for a little bit and able to watch North Huskies basketball. Yeah, it's an interesting time, and an exciting time for kids and families and, you know, making memories.
Trigby.
Yeah, and I think you get to the heart of it, Mike, and we've had this conversation a lot of times. You know, it's the cornerstone of the communities, right? Like people, it's what they're talking about on Wednesday morning or Sunday and when they go to church. And people lose sight of the fact that in our small towns, like where you and I are from, that is the hub. But not only is it the hub of socially, it's the driver of the economic engine, right? Like, you know, people go from the public schools to our public universities, and then they're the lawyers and the teachers and the nurses. And so it's easy for people to demonize public education if they don't pause and think just what a hub. It is truly what makes the state of Wisconsin an amazing place.
Mm-hmm. No, I couldn't agree more. And, you know, many school leaders, I'll just talk about my own field. You know, I'm unapologetic about my athletic background and coaching and teaching. And, you know, at times, you know, people mention that all about athletics or this or that. It's very important. It was important to my family. It was important to me. And it, you know, it's that element of competition. And when you fail in athletics or in the activity you're in, whether it's show choir, whether it, you know, forensics, it doesn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, it teaches you that stick-to-itiveness in your, whether it's the college or university you attend, and then into your life. We compete. I still compete. Do I look at the statistics on the state report cards in November when they're unembargoed and the embargo's listed? And do we look at, you know, do I look at our regional schools? Do I look at schools that are our size and how we're achieving and our growth? Absolutely. And, you know, I think part of that is that that competition, whether it's in an activity or whether it's in athletics.
We're talking with Mike Johnson. He is the superintendent of public schools in the Eau Claire School District in northwest Wisconsin, along with Trigvi Olson, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project. Mike, if you could just talk a little bit about, because Trigvi and I talk a lot about what happens in Washington. Of course, he has a lot, you know, all this experience, as you well know, but we try to put it through a Wisconsin lens. And I think when we hear all these stories about immigration and changing policies, a lot of folks don't stop and think how that affects families in Wisconsin, and in particular, our schools. And I know you've been very adamant about keeping our public schools as safe places for students to learn. If you could talk a little bit about what these changes in Washington immigration, the effects it has had for you locally in Eau Claire, and how you've dealt with that.
I think we dealt with it very well, according to our families and the community. About a month ago, we were in Milwaukee for the State Education Convention with our board members and a few administrators. And that's when things really started to pick up a little bit with that executive order on immigration. You know, we talked about it in the large district caucus, where 20 to 25 of the largest school districts talk about these matters when we were down in Milwaukee. And you know what? Consult with legal, consult with DPI. Examine your own policies. And we put something out to our staff and our families. And yes, it got circulated around the media, and that's fine. But we follow our policy, and here's the steps we take. We have control in our schools. We have control of our educational environment. Mm. And if an ICE agent were to come in, here's how we would handle it. They don't have carte blanche. You know, they're a visitor like anyone else. But we have certain things that we need to examine. And we shared that with our principals. We shared that with our families after and our staff so that everybody felt comfortable. But it really is quite a bit of trauma to some families in our district. And, you know, when we made that announcement on a Monday evening, you know, I'd have to say 15 or 20 to 1, you know, the positives that we heard from families across the district, just about this is how the schools will handle in that type of a case. And unfortunately, you know, social media the next day, well, we you know, somebody posts something about seeing somebody at an ICE agent at two of our schools. Well, then that sets us back. And the nice thing was here in Eau Claire, the law enforcement agencies said, you know, that's very disturbing. And it really goes against all that we believe in and the partnerships that we have with the schools and the community is, you know, it just causes unnecessary trauma and to our entire community.
I was just so amazed, impressed with, just real quick, I was just amazingly impressed, Mike, with your leadership, with your district. You didn't make it partisan. You put the students first. You included the community, and you included law enforcement. And I was particularly impressed with the way law enforcement worked with the school district. And I think it's a great example how people in Washington don't think about how these things are going to affect the local communities. And then it's on your shoulders and the police chief and everybody else in the community. And I just thought what you all did at Eau Claire was just an example of how it should be handled. Trigvi?
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, Mike, you and I have been friends for a long time, and that's a testament to the public education system too, right? Like I was saying before you got on, walked into Tim Hirsch's class and been friends ever since. But I mean, I'm proud of the way that you've been leading on it. And I think your leadership, really, you hit on perhaps the most important point. The trauma that's caused and that you have to mitigate is not just for the kids who, I guess we lost Mike, but the trauma isn't just for the kids who might be deported, who are victims in it, but it's for all of them, all the kids who are sitting in that classroom, because that's their friend.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
It's relationships. It's relationship building. Mike, do we have you back now?
Sorry about that, guys.
No worries.
I think I did catch enough from what you had shared, but to Trigvi's point.
Yeah, I was just busy praising you, Mike.
Yeah.
I'm proud of you, buddy.
Hey, that's that River Falls and UW-Eau Claire connection, right. I'm sure. Like you had both mentioned, it was the trauma wasn't necessarily to families directly impacted. It was, you know, my friends, you know, kindergarten through fifth grade students at an elementary school. My friends, this could happen to my friends. And that was something that, you know, that we had heard from other families as well. Not just some of our, like I said, some of our families were directly impacted.
Yeah. As we look ahead, we're talking with Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools in Eau Claire, celebrating this Public Schools Week. As you look at the what's on the horizon in terms of we're in a state budget right now, and I know you don't like to get partisan political, that's absolutely fine, but just help us understand as lay people who are not in education, because I think a lot of us just don't understand it because we're not there. What would you like the general public to be aware of the challenges, but also the opportunities for public education in Wisconsin?
Well, yeah, that's a heck of a question. It'd probably be a 2 to 3 hour conversation. Sure, and things we discussed
the top,
you know,
one
like
or
last
two.
April when you guys, when we had this at the university last year, you know, ultimately Wisconsin schools have been severely underfunded for decades. And it's really magnified now with the ESSER monies that came in to really help with the results or the impact of the pandemic. Well, with Wisconsin, you know, not getting in the past biennium to get any increase in our funding. Well, now we're seeing the results of that, where this is largely on the taxpayer, where, like, you know, we went to referendum in November, and about a third of the schools in the state had gone to a referendum for their operations. The day-to-day stuff, it's people, it's supplies, it's programming. And, you know, now we've got to wait till June or July to get a budget, a new biennial budget. Well, I think the statistics are right now 93 districts or 85 districts, maybe 93 questions, are going in February. I think there were 5 or 6. And the rest are going to go in April, on April 1st. Mm-hmm. Again, and that's what we heard throughout our 65 referendum presentations for the funding of our schools, equitable funding of our schools, is that this is not just an Eau Claire problem. This is a regional, this is a statewide problem, that schools are not funded as they should be, keeping up with inflation and, you know, with the programming and positions that people had found necessary as a result of COVID to keep those things going, keep those people in those positions, keep those systems moving. And it'll be very interesting to see how many districts go to referendum in November if there isn't some serious work done,
Mike,
whether it's on the, you know, special education funding, for example.
30 seconds left, Mike. Anything we have not asked you want people to know about Eau Claire Public Schools during this Public Schools Week?
You mentioned it before, it's a nonpartisan issue. And we found that in our referendum. We had a big ask for the taxpayers, the largest that we've had in Eau Claire, to my knowledge. But, you know, we had 64-65% who voted yes. So there are plenty of Republican folks that strongly support our schools here in Eau Claire. And I'm really proud of that. And I'm proud of our community.
Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools in Eau Claire. Mike, you and all your team are part of what makes Wisconsin great. Keep doing a great job. Thanks for being with us. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Thanks for all you do.
Stay tuned. Back after this.
This is the Talk of La Crosse.
Eagle 1490 AM.
America is kept safe because the Army National Guard responds, protects, and supports our nation when it needs them most. From fighting wildfires with air support, helping civilians in flooded neighborhoods, to delivering food and supplies to those who have lost everything, the Army National Guard always responds when disaster strikes. The Army National Guard also trains to be ever vigilant against threats, foreign and domestic. They protect our skies with missile defense weaponry. They secure our information, communications, and infrastructure with cybersecurity. And they protect us against chemical, biological, and radiological hazards with the civilian support team. The Army National Guard also stands ready to deploy and provide support for conflicts or humanitarian missions abroad. Join the Army National Guard and be there to respond, protect, and support your community and your country. Visit NationalGuard.com to learn more about part-time service. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard. Aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Wounded Warrior Project has been there for me since that first day in the hospital. They got me out of the house. They got me connected with other veterans, and they helped me face my PTSD. They support me and my family at every turn. And now I'm helping other warriors realize that they're not alone.
Through our hands-on programs, supportive community, and ongoing advocacy, we help post-9/11 veterans realize what's possible. Learn more at woundedwarriorproject.org/possible.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
As you drive throughout Wisconsin this morning, maybe you're taking a taxi to work or to school. It is now 51 minutes past the hour, or 9 before the hour of 8 o'clock here on a Thursday, February 27th, 2025. Todd Alball in Madison, Greg Bach in Racine, Kenosha, filling in for a vacationing Milwaukee Brewers spring training edition of Pat Kreitlow and Up North News Radio. Pat is making his way on his Lear jet back to Wisconsin, and he'll be back tomorrow on this very time slot. Does Pat have a jet, Greg? Is that what he has?
He has one of those, like, he gets in one of those squirrel costumes that's got, like, he jumps off a mountain and just glides to his next destination.
He does. He's a smooth operator, that's for sure. Absolutely. Many thanks to Mike Johnson, Superintendent of Public Schools, and Eau Claire for being our guest last segment, along with Trigvi Olson of the Lincoln Project. It is National Public Schools Week. We celebrate that here on Civic Media and Up North News Radio, which we said returns tomorrow. Quick check of temperatures around the state of Wisconsin, 37 degrees still along Lake Gitchagumi in Superior, down at 37 degrees now in Racine, Kenosha, where Greg Bach is at, 36 in Milwaukee. It is 36 in Green Bay, Wisconsin, 37 now in Eau Claire, 36 right now in Wausau, 37 degrees in Wisconsin Rapids, 36 in Richland Center, and here in the capital city, 37 degrees in Madison as well, 37 in La Crosse as well. So 37 is a wild number. 31 is the number of our next guest. He is our senior advisor, operations director, and Brewers player extraordinaire, knower of all things. Luke Mathers joins us from his beautiful home in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Lukester, how are you?
I'm doing well, Todd.
Studio audience here, raging on. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you guys took the giggle juice this morning, it sounds like.
It's just a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day in Wisconsin, and happy to be with all of our lovely lovely listeners this morning.
And we're genuinely happy to have you here. Genuinely.
Yes. All right. Is that the word of the day?
It is. And I'm not sure if you heard, Luke, earlier. It's National Toast Day. So I brought some toast into the studios here in the old toaster. And we made some toast with Brittany Merlot this morning. That was a lot of fun. What's your favorite topping of toast, Luke?
Got to go with the raspberry jam.
Raspberry jam. That's a very good choice.
There you go. Yeah. A diplomat. Yeah.
Very good. I can keep the toaster on until you get in here, but we've got strawberry rhubarb if you want some of that.
Not a big strawberry rhubarb guy. I'm really, not a huge fan. No, my mom always made it growing up, and it was kind of one of those things where I was like, I'd rather have raspberry or grape if I'm going with jellies and jams.
All right, very good. Also on this 27th of February, guess what? It's National Small Dog Day. And you have to say it like that, dog, like an East Coaster. It is all through the last Thursday.
Why do you have to say it that way?
Because that's what it says in the National Small Dog Registry. The last Thursday in February is National Small Dog Day, and specifically dedicated to celebrating small dogs in the pack, their mighty personalities, and the huge impact they have on their lives. What constitutes a small dog, you ask? Well, dogs that weigh 20 pounds or less fall under the small dog or toy dog breed category. Luke, you have not one, but two dogs in the house. Do you consider them small dogs?
No, they do not meet that criteria. No.
They're over 20 pounds?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Aurora's got to be, what, like 25 pounds, right?
Oh, no, they're both in the mid-30s now.
Oh,
Aurora's,
wow.
God, Aurora's pretty, yeah, she's full grown. She's about the same size as Remy now.
So. I held Aurora when she was an itty-bitty. She's the size of a potato, like a potato.
I would say, they all start small. The puppies all start small, and Aurora was a little fluff ball. We're getting the one-year kind of like screen time hop or whatever, all the reminders of this is what you were doing last year that all of our smartphones and stuff do now. And we're getting all these one-year memory pictures of Aurora as a little tiny, as she's pulling the mic out from underneath the desk.
That's fantastic. Yeah. That's what we wanted. Let's get her on camera.
She ran away scared.
Oh, she scared herself.
She stepped on the wire underneath the desk, and now
she went from a brave dog to a scaredy cat.
Yeah. So we're getting all the one-year fluff ball memories of her, and it's very good. Let me see if I can get her on the street.
All right, very good. We are attempting now. This is a big day. Toast and dogs. Look at that. There she is. Oh, there she is.
There's
absolutely.
I would say, does she look like a small dog to you? Come on.
She's a lap. She's on your lap. Oh, she has a ball. She has her ball.
She went underneath the desk to grab it. Apparently it was hanging out over there. And that's why she grabbed stepped on the mic wire, but that's okay. But yeah, they're both in their mid-30s, almost. Remy's almost approaching 40 pounds, so they're good mid-sized dogs. So, like, not big dogs by any means, but definitely not the ankle biter, you know, small dog. I'm not a fan of those. The little yappers,
toy cup poodle or teacup poodle.
Not my cup of tea when it comes to dog food. So I'm a big fan. They are technically mini Australian Shepherds. They're not full Australian Shepherds, which gets them in that 30. But they also have, you can see some of the videos of like toy Australian Shepherds, and that's those small ones. That's the only kind of small dog I could probably handle. But
you like a good sized dog.
Yeah, 30, 40 pounds, good size. She's learning a bunch of tricks right now. So we're doing tricks class, and so she's running through. We're working the brain because they're too darn smart.
Will she bring you a beer? Have you taught her how to bring you a beer yet? Because some dogs will do that.
I'm trying to cut down, so I'm not training her on that one. We're doing really well with spin, paws up, crawl. She's getting good. She mastered the tunnel as well at class this week. So she was at first terrified of the tunnel, and now she can run through it. Pretty well.
It's so cute when they're so afraid of them, and then they just go for it, and they're like, this is the best thing ever!
Yep. I got some videos I can show you, Greg. Awesome. They're pretty cute.
All right, Luke Mathers, we appreciate you being here. I know we were going to talk a little Badger sports, but we got into dogs. That's dogs and toast. It was a big day this morning on Civic Media this morning. Thanks, Luke. Badgers, we appreciate you.
Badgers at Michigan State Sunday. Tune in on the Civic Media app.
Thank you, Luke. We appreciate it. Thank you to Greg, everybody else who made our show go. Greg will be back at 10 o'clock with Matt and Aaron Air. I'll see you at noon. Kreitlow and Up North News Radio back tomorrow. Coming up next, the news.
You're listening to the Talk of Lacrosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. We'll take a look at a very nuanced topic. Joann Fabrics closing. Does it affect you? Also, what's worse? Food Edition. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays noon till 2.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. Soaring high above lacrosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX Lacrosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. After an appellate court ruled the federal government must make foreign aid payments, the Supreme Court has paused that for now. ABC's Mary Bruce has details from outside of the court.
Overnight, Chief Justice John Roberts handing President Trump a win here at the court, at least temporarily, delaying a midnight deadline for the Trump administration to pay out nearly $2 billion in foreign aid. Roberts is now asking for a response from the aid groups by noon tomorrow, after which time the court will decide what comes next.
The Trump administration's directing all federal agencies to submit plans for large-scale layoffs and restructuring by March 13th. Two-time Oscar winner Gene Hackman is dead. The 95-year-old was found along with his wife and their dog dead in their New Mexico home. The local sheriff did not announce a cause. The measles outbreak in West Texas is now deadly. A school-age girl is the nation's first measles death since 2015. This is ABC News.